The political repression going on in the East African nation of Tanzania has not escaped international notice. Human rights groups and organizations concerned with the rights of indigenous people have strongly condemned the government's use of force against them, as well as against pro-democracy protesters. KGVM contributor David Rosenberg spoke with Anuradha Mittal, the executive director of the Oakland Institute, about the situation in Tanzania.
I remember hearing about Tanzania in the 1960s when Julius Nyerere was in power, and it seemed to be a high point at that time. Was it just downhill from there? What happened?
Well, definitely over the last decade or so, we have seen administrations in place in Tanzania, which are catering to foreign interests, which are focused on growth through tourism, through trophy hunting, at the expense of the local communities and the indigenous communities. So a growth model, which is all inclusive, which is focused on growth for all, which is environmentally sustainable, has been discarded. And that has been done through a very authoritarian and repressive measures.
So Hassan, who got 98% of the vote, is this pretty much widely acknowledged in Tanzania and the world that it was a phony election?
Well, the latest election of Samia Suluhu Hassan with 98% victory is a sham. Before the elections, all legit opposition had been locked up. She has ensured that there is no critics left. People are living with fear of retribution. Anyone who has challenged the government, including indigenous communities, as we have documented at the Oakland Institute, the so-called development plans through fortress conservation, displacing indigenous communities to promote tourism, for instance, that has been done in a very heavy-handed manner, where park rangers can kill with impunity. And now with the latest elections, with 98% so-called victory, which even the African Union has denounced that it was not a democratic election.
So what about the arrests of the opposition? Is that continuing at this point?
Well, it's been unfortunate. Even before the elections, the most prominent opposition leaders were arrested by President Hassan. And following the elections, when ordinary citizens took to the streets to protest the sham victory of the president, they were met with unimaginable violence. Police were shooting at pregnant women, were shooting live ammunition into the crowds. And even a CNN investigation reports that thousands have been killed. The bodies were deposed in mass graves. Thousands have been arrested and hundreds have been charged with treason, which, by the way, is considered a capital offense in Tanzania.
What about the legislative bodies in the country? Is there any opposition allowed there at all?
Well, we're talking about current day Tanzania, which has slid into authoritarian regime. When you have victory of a president with 98%, when the opposition is locked down, is under arrest, when the internet is shut down, when media is under siege, even the legislative bodies, there's not much to say. It took immense courage by the Tanzanians who took to the streets to protest and who have been protesting for decades about the slide into authoritarianism. And it is unfortunate that a country which gained independence today has turned into a model of repression and continues to get support from the Western powers, from the World Bank, from African Development Bank, till something strong is done. Unfortunately, this model of running the country will continue.
So the human rights groups are paying attention to it and are trying to do something about it, would you say?
Oh, definitely. I mean, at the Oakland Institute itself, for over a decade now, we have been documenting government's absolutely appalling policies towards the indigenous and the promotion of fortress conservation, displacement and forced evictions of indigenous communities to expand tourism, to create more Serengetis, to create more Ngorongoro conservation area. Given our work, other groups have moved in. You have Human Rights Watch, you have Amnesty that have been documenting a continued or increasing repression in the country. And following the latest violence, following the elections in October, many human rights groups have been calling out for international community to intervene. And it is a result of that that you saw the European Parliament pass a resolution asking that the aid that was intended for Tanzania is blocked till we see a change in and respect for human rights in the country.
Would you say that the situation in Tanzania is worse than, say, in Rwanda with the Kagame government?
You know, that's a good question. You know, I try to stay away about what about? I think when we talk about international law, when we talk about human rights, if we start doing and comparisons, it's a slippery slope. We are living in a world, there's no denying, when the respect for human rights, when the respect for international law is waning. We have seen countries like the United States not show any respect for it. But we have to, each time when we see a repression of human rights, to speak out and use our voice instead of getting caught in, is this situation worse than, say, Myanmar or China or Rwanda? Each of these situations demands that we raise our voices because human rights are universal and they're indivisible.
And what about the U.S. role in Tanzania, if any?
That's a good question again. Like a lot of other countries, such as France and Japan and China, EU countries, Korea, US is a donor, a bilateral donor of Tanzania. At the same time, it is the largest contributor to the World Bank. World Bank is the largest bilateral donor to Tanzania. It has a portfolio of, you know, billions of dollars. I think it is over $9 billion. So there's real responsibility with countries that are passing on this aid to Tanzania, which is showing to a government which is showing no respect for human rights, which is killing its own citizens.
So the solution would be what, concretely, to bring in some sort of international monitoring system or to get these countries to cease supporting Tanzania, as hard as that might be?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is to differentiate between Tanzania as a country and the current administration. I think it is absolutely essential for the international community to use every means it has to put pressure on the current administration of Samia Suluhu Hassan that she cannot continue, that she cannot continue with ending democracy in Tanzania. She cannot continue to arrest opposition leaders. She cannot create an environment where communities and citizens live in fear of retribution. And that behavior cannot be rewarded through aid, through loans. You know, in case of World Bank, for instance, it provided money to the current administration for expansion of a national park, which would displace over 84,000 people, which has destroyed livelihoods of farmers and herders, which has resulted in extrajudicial killings and forced disappearances. So the accountability rests not just with the current administration, but also with the World Bank. So it is absolutely essential that the international community takes action, forces this government to abide by democratic norms, and of course, international laws and human rights.
This is a speculative question, but how much support do you think Hassan would get in a legitimate election?
Well, the kind of repression that we have seen all over the country, so-called development projects, which are displacing people, which are destroying livelihoods, it would be quite shocking to think that this president would win an election with an overwhelming percentage. There is widespread discontent in every part of the country because it is not just in Loliondo or in Ngorongoro Conservation Area where the Maasai are being evicted, but in the southern part of the country, other indigenous groups, villagers are being evicted as well. When you talk about fear of retribution, people who have disappeared after arrest following the elections remain disappeared. So when you look at this environment of fear, when you look at this environment of end of political freedoms, and in the midst of that, you see the courage of Tanzanians to take to the streets to protest the elections, I think the answer is evident how popular she is.
Sometimes in these kind of situations, there'll be a split in the country's military. Do you see that in Tanzania, or is the military pretty much totally loyal?
Well, we have seen police following orders and security forces following orders of the president following the elections, and to meet and respond to very legal, peaceful protests with such violence. And the president has defended the actions of the police. In fact, the language used is almost jingoistic, basically threatening the international community that we are now a free country and we'll do as we please. It is really taking over the language of freedom to mean that we don't have to abide by international law and human rights, that we are allowed to kill our own citizens.
That's Anuradha Mittal of the Oakland Institute speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on January 29th, 2026.